Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willimitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Hello, hello, hello. Okay, so Tony is on a leave of absence. He's in Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana,
that's right.
Yeah, taking care of his mom.
Right, exactly, freezing his toes off up there in the frozen tundra of Indiana.
But he's doing the good mom thing.
He is. Yeah, he's a good son. He's a good son.
So we have a special guest. We are happy to welcome the son of Deacon George Meyerson, George Meyerson Jr.
I'm my own man.
Welcome, man.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we're having him on because, number one, we feel sorry for him. Number two...
Deacon Dave said no this week.
Well, that's number two. Deacon Dave said no. Number three is that George Meyerson Jr. knows Paul Thigpen. What's his name?
Paul Thigpen.
Dr. Paul Thigpen.
There you go.
Okay, and number four, because, and here's the real reason, he has a degree in theology and in philosophy.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Surprising. That's amazing. I actually have a degree, number one. That's a big surprise for most people.
I was shocked, to be honest with you.
Hey, you know what? You got more degree than you have hair on your head.
Oh. He's a funny guy.
Are you kidding me?
Hello, is this thing on? Hello.
Well, you do look like a Franciscan friar, I have to say, with the shaved head and the beard.
Well, yeah, he does.
Yeah, I mean, well, you've got a history with them, right?
I do.
Those good dudes, the CFRs?
Yes. Franciscan Friars of the Renewal.
Yeah, no, they're...
The Grey Friars.
They've been on the podcast before. They're good dudes, Father Daniel, all those guys. So that's awesome, man.
I was actually in the seminary with Father Daniel.
No kidding. out at Holy Apostles, yeah?
Yeah, Holy Apostles.
That's where you went, Father Scott
knows that place, too.
I do know that place.
We have some similar friends.
Yeah, we have the friars on when we can't get anybody else. So it's like, okay, call up George Meyerson.
Oh, George can't do it? Okay, let's get Father Daniel.
Oh, Deacon Dave can't do it? Oh, okay, so, yeah, right. And then, oh, Marine can't do it? Oh, okay, let's call the friars.
Just being mean tonight, man.
I got bumped up on that list. That was nice. I know, that was comforting.
You're number one on that one.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's only because I'm here right now.
Right ahead of Marine Healy. That's funny. Oh my goodness. Okay, so, hey, thanks for joining us, though. Seriously.
Thanks for having me, seriously.
And we're going to talk tonight about the gospel from the third Sunday of Advent.
Yep.
Gaudete Sunday.
Gaudete.
Rejoice.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. Okay. Then you can tell us a little bit about your family. So we're not total strangers, right? So we can do that. Okay, so the third Sunday of Advent. Okay, so on Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe with the most fantastic celebration.
It was amazing.
Wasn't it fun?
Oh, it was amazing. We had, so we started the night off with Vespers at about 5:45. And the Vespers led right into the start of Mass at 6 p.m. We had a Mass to honor Our Lady. It was just so beautiful. A beautiful chanted Mass, which I love, because those chants, the antiphons for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe are so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's from, they take from Revelation, the woman clothed with the sun and a crown of 12 stars. Such a beautiful image of Our Lady. So we did that, had a procession with the statue of Our Lady.
Well, I just love it. At the end of Mass, you do the final blessing and then Here come the Knight of Columbus mm-hmm. with, you know, holding up the image of Our Lady, the big statue.
Yeah.
And the burritos.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they didn't do burritos that night.
Yeah.
All right. We did better than burritos.
We did.
So they process in with the lady with the carrying case. It's huge, right? So yeah. We process throughout the church. Everybody follows behind. Outside we go to an altar that's set up and then we place her. And then it's beautiful. I tell you, I was just so joyful. So we reconsecrated the parish to Our Lady's heart. And then right at the end of that, the people brought their flowers, all these roses, and just put them up. Did you see them stacking up?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Just like hundreds of roses.
So beautiful.
Being piled up next to the image of Our Lady. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And we had this great mariachi group that's joined us for the past 3 years for the procession. Just it's just such a great tradition. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot, not only to our Hispanic community here in the state of New Mexico, but I think just generally, like we said last week on the podcast, Our Lady of Guadalupe is patroness of the Americas. And she's such a beautiful image. It's this image that we have preserved in the Tilma in Guadalupe because it's an image that was created by Our Lady herself. It's just such a beautiful, miraculous image. So we were so blessed to have this procession. It was beautiful.
It was fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
And then we had the big feast. We had enchiladas. We had pozole. I don't know who made the pozole, but it was the bomb.
Oh, it was so good. It's good. I have to say, it's good when like you actually get spicy chili at these big events. You know what I mean? A lot of times you have just
ketchup.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't taste like anything. You know what I mean? It's like just tomato sauce or whatever.
Yeah.
But this chili, whoever did the pozole, you knocked it out of the park. The enchiladas too, those green enchiladas had a kick, man. They were good.
Oh, weren't they good?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And then the bizcochitos went quick.
I know. I didn't get one.
I had one.
Very sad.
The kids were hovering over that table. So it was a great, I mean, you know, it started off with the night at Bethlehem. And then this followed up by the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's so cool, man.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome.
It's such a great time of year. This is one of my favorite times of the year.
And then I've been getting tons of confessions, and it's just been
great.
Praise
God, man. Yeah, this is your confessathon time, right?
Oh, boy. Tell you what.
It's from, you're going from now till New Year's Eve, right? Or the 23rd? I forget.
For what?
For your confessathon.
Oh, no, I don't go
What are we talking about again?
Confessathon, man. Confessathon. Yeah. No, it's crazy. I mean, and praise God for like, you know, I think Advent, so you get this during Advent and during Lent as well in preparation for the big feast of, you know, of course, in Advent, Christmas, and in Lent, Easter. But just you see so many graces come about with people going to confession who maybe haven't been, you know, in a long time. I mean, maybe some people come who, you know, maybe they went to confession last week, but you get some incredible, incredible graces during this time of year. So we're so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for, all the many ministries that our parish have participated in the Guadalupe celebration. So shout out to all of you guys.
Yeah, and that for parishes all over, you know, this diocese or archdiocese do celebrations. I got to tell you, ours is probably one of the best, if not the best.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm not just bragging. But
Because. Of the chant.
Because of the wonderful things he does.
Yeah.
It's because of the chant. See, that's why I love it, and that's why I keep coming back, is because it's so unique that we do these biblical chants out of the scriptures, these chants that foreshadow Our Lady, foreshadow that prophesy Our Lady and her bringing Christ into the world. I mean, there's just so many poignant psalms, so many things in the Gospels and in the prophets. And so I love that we do that. That, for me, is what ties the entire feast together, is those antiphons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love it, man.
So I don't know if it was posted. I don't see it now, but there was an article posted, I think, on either Spirit Daily or maybe it was New Advent, about some findings from, you know, NASA when they studied the Tilma.
Yeah.
So it appears, according to the study, that it appears as if actually the image isn't even touching the cloth. That it's somehow suspended above it, like 1/100th or 1/1000th of an inch or some crazy thing. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It's crazy stuff.
It seems like, if it is, I mean, only God could pull that off.
It's miraculous or something.
Right? It seems like every year that there's something crazy, like that they pull out with the Tilma. What was it, maybe 5 years ago when they did the scan? We talked about it again already, but we did the scan. They did the scan of her eyes, and they did, and they're saying that the eyes are too, they're not even mirror images of each other. So that, you know, it has, what is it called? Diffraction or something, where since the eyes are orb or a sphere that it distorts the image a little bit. So the eyes actually had retinal disparity.
Disparity. That has to do with the distance of the image from the eye. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's two things. There's the image in each eye is distorted, just as if you look at yourself in a person's eye, mm-hmm. because the eye is curved. You know, like go to your Christmas tree and you got the Christmas, you know, the ornament, mm-hmm. the round ornament, and look at yourself. If it's reflective, look at yourself up close because your whole face is distorted. So the image if you look at like in your eye, if I looked at myself in your eye, I could see myself, but it's distorted.
Right.
So these images are distorted for one thing. But if I put my finger out in front of my nose, like say 3 feet, and then I begin to move my finger closer to my nose, uh-huh. then my eyes will start to turn in towards my finger. And so that's called retinal disparity. So the images in the eye correspond to the distance as they would be seen. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, you know, come on, painting a picture
would be thinking about something like that.
Would be thinking
about
something.
We need to make sure we get in that retinal disparity. That's good.
You know, yeah, the guy
let's get that detail work.
But even like, even in terms of like, it's like, that's not a mathematical, like that is a mathematical equation. How the heck do you paint that? You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. And that they say that that you can see in the eyes the figures of the people who are in the room during the mm-hmm. miracle. So you can see the bishop, Juan Diego, and I think the other attendants there.
Well, I think they said a total of 12 people.
Wow.
Or something.
Crazy, like, yeah.
12 they can kind of
unbelievable.
Make them out.
Yeah.
But then the exact image is in the other eye. But it, you know what I'm saying? It's just, come on, who paints in 1531? Who does that now and says, oh, let's make sure we get this detail down? Yep. I mean, come on.
And then not to mention cactus fibers that should have disintegrated centuries ago are still in existence
today. Well, they last 10 years, they said.
Just unbelievable.
Okay, and then also the fact that that tilma, you know, it was submerged in water during a flood. It was
20s, yeah.
There was when the church was blown up, you know, it survived a fire. I mean, come on, you know, this thing is just amazing.
Yeah.
And what's more is that there's no paint
mm-hmm.
detected. There's no dye detected, but yet mm-hmm. the image is there.
Yeah. And I read this other great article about her mantle as well, actually. Mm-hmm. So the stars on her mantle mm-hmm. correspond to the night sky, mm-hmm. the night that she appeared to Juan Diego. Mm-hmm. However, it's not the perspective of looking down from the earth up. It's the perspective of someone looking down from the heavens to earth.
Yeah.
Through the stars.
Yeah.
How cool is that, man?
That's the whole thing's amazing.
Come on. Little Baptist preacher on here. Come on, man. Do you feel the power, Father Scott?
Hey,
preacher.
Are you bashing my Baptist friends?
No, of course not.
Oh, okay. Don't be doing that.
Got some zeal there, man. That's all I'm saying.
Don't be doing that. They got some great preachers, though, in that Baptist church, I gotta tell you.
They do.
They really do. Oh, now, speaking of Baptist and Protestants.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we got this letter.
Okay.
Which is very nice. Okay, because last week we were talking about the reading had to do with, remember John the Baptist? And he said, John the Baptist says to the Pharisees, who told you to flee from the coming wrath? And then he says to them, show us signs of good works as proof of your conversion or something. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you remember that?
Right. Show us proof. Show us your works and then I can, what was it?
No, show, yeah. Work. Show us good fruits as signs or proof of your repentance.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So, okay. So then we pointed out, or you pointed out anyway, that that's a good apologetic. You know, to point out to Protestants because they believe in faith alone, right?
Right.
As to where we say faith and love, right? Mm-hmm. And then works. You know, you got grace. We would say, a Catholic would say, yeah, we are saved by grace, but then we have to collaborate and respond to collaborate with the grace that is given us, which then leads us to, because of the grace given, then we have faith. And then out of love, then we do good things for each other. You know, the works that Jesus says, you know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and so on.
Right.
Prayer, okay, is a work. Okay?
Right.
So that's what we would say. But then oftentimes we accuse, you know, Protestant Christians of believing that one is saved by faith alone. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now let me just get to it. I'm looking for this particular letter, okay? So you all talk for a moment, and then I'll find it.
Wow, we got a letter. I'm a little nervous.
We got a letter.
Well, it's an email.
It's like we're getting a notification from God right now.
Dude, yeah. By the way, just so you know, George, this happens every single podcast. Every single podcast.
That's nice. I thought that maybe it was going to be like the Blue's Clues thing going on here, that we got an email.
See, I love that. I love that you made that reference, because it just shows you're obviously a dad. You reference Blue's Clues. I was like,
got
I
don't a know. 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, or a 2-year-old and almost 5-year-old, 4-year-old, that the new Blue's Clues, I don't know, man.
What is that?
It's this guy that they don't do the mail time song anymore. I used to, you know, I used to get up and enjoy that one. Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail, and when it comes, I want to wail, mail. Now it's about an email.
Father, oh, my Scott, goodness. You're the expression on your face.
It's priceless. I could sing the whole thing if you want me to. No. But I heard last week that, hey, man, only I do the songs, man.
That's true. That's true.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, no, go ahead. No. I'll endure it. No. I'll tolerate it.
It might be copyrighted, so let's just skip that.
Okay.
We'll get
and
sued.
And my voice doesn't soothe the
all right.
ears.
So listen to this letter. Very nice. Okay. Right. This comes from this guy. His name is Gene Curl. Okay. Dear Father Mansfield, Mr. Willemitis, and Mr. Tapia, I regularly listen to your podcast and enjoy doing so.
Awesome.
Despite our theological differences, but I felt compelled to write in to respectfully correct something you said on your recent episode, that'd be 96, Where's Tony, that I feel is a fundamental misunderstanding of what Protestants actually believe. On the discussion about John the Baptist and bringing forth fruits of repentance, it was strongly implied that Protestants believe that since they are saved by grace, that they can live any way they want and still go to heaven, and I can assure you that nothing could be farther from the truth. So while we believe that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, we also firmly believe that if we have been born again, that we become new creatures in Christ, and that as a natural result of becoming a new creature, our natures change and we bring forth fruit. Apart from Christ, we are all dead in our sins, and a dead tree can have no fruit. But once we are alive in Christ, we can bring forth good fruit, which is evidence of our conversion. And even then, we can't take credit for the good works we do, because they were prepared in advance by God so that we could do them. That's Ephesians 2:10, he points out, okay? So in short, Protestants don't believe that we are saved because we do good work, but rather we do good work because we are saved. Fair enough. If a person is living like the world and claims to be born again, that he or she is lying, confused, or both, because a changed person, that is, does not live as if they were not changed. And a person converted to the Lord does not act as if Lucifer is their homeboy. It is grace through faith that saves us, but it is obvious that anyone who does not try to live for God does not have saving faith. So I am sure that you have met Protestants who believe they can live like the world and still be saved, but I can assure you that they are mistaken and have fundamental misunderstanding of the doctrine of grace. Just as the Catholics I have met who believe they are saved through the Virgin Mary and not through Jesus Christ have a fundamental misunderstanding of Catholicism. If you are interested in more about this topic and what Protestants teach about, one of my podcast episodes was about it, and you can find it through this link, and he gives the link. So he says, thank you for continuing your podcast and spreading good news of Jesus and the blessings of a good cigar. There you go. God bless and have a great holiday season. Your brother in Christ, Gene Curl. Isn't that a great letter?
Yeah, awesome. Thanks,
very
Gene.
Nice. Yep. Yeah, thanks for listening, too. Okay, so yeah, I've talked to Protestants. I was at a Wex restaurant, you know, it's a breakfast place.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, gives you way too much food, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many potatoes can a human being eat in a morning?
Oh, man.
You know, so I always tell them, look, just give me like 1/16 of the portion that you give normally, okay? And even then, that's too much.
It's still a big platter, yeah.
So anyway, I'm at there, and I'm in my clerics, in my priestly clerics, and
this guy standing there, and he looks at me and he said, "Oh, you're a priest." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you Catholic?" I said, "Yeah." So he identified himself as the minister of another church close by. And he asked me the question, "What do you believe with regards to being saved and justification?" I said, "Well, we Catholics believe that we are saved by grace, but we have to collaborate with the grace that God gives us. So, you know, to receive grace and then not to do anything with it, you know, we have to respond to it, right? We have to believe, we have to follow, we have to obey and do the good things that the Lord assigns us to do because God calls us to collaborate with him. So, you know, when we got to talking, it became clear to me and to this guy that we're really not that separate when it comes to our belief in
I think that it...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see where you come from, but at the same time, there are some people that are still going to believe that once saved, always saved.
But his point is that there are Protestants who believe that, but they are mistaken.
Right.
So he's pointing out that those people who believe that are mistaken.
Yeah.
Just as we might have, you know, and you meet Catholics who don't know the teachings of their own church.
Oh, for sure. Just like, you know, that letter that you just read from Gene, mm-hmm. I think you said the name was. Yeah, he was completely right. Well, people that talking about being saved through Mary.
Well, we had a lady once when I was in the seminary, and she was visiting, and she was talking about how she prays to the Blessed Mother to receive more grace. And we said, whoa, wait a minute. Grace has only come from Jesus. They don't come from the Blessed Mother. She can pray for us that, you know, her son gives us more grace, but graces do not come from her. Christ is the source of the grace, right? So, yeah, so that would be the case. And we're not knocking the lady. I mean, she was just misunderstand. You know, she just didn't understand. And once we kind of set her straight, then she was okay with it.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
His point is, you know, there might be Catholics who misunderstand or don't know. And I know that's the case, right? Mm-hmm. Just as there are Protestants who kind of don't know the teachings of their own churches.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I just did a quick search, actually, and I think this is helpful. So I think what Gene is saying, and I think it's true, is that, you know, potentially it's like it's an oversimplification of, like, you know, Catholics believe in faith and works and Protestants believe in just faith alone and boom, it's done. I found this really helpful quote from Benedict XVI that I think kind of sheds a little bit more light on this. Mm-hmm. So Pope Benedict says, quote, "Luther's phrase, faith alone is true if it is not opposed to faith in charity. In love. Faith is looking at Christ, entrusting oneself to Christ, being united to Christ, conformed to Christ, to his life. And the form, the life of Christ, is love. Hence, to believe is to conform to Christ and to enter into his love." So it is that in the letter to the Galatians, when he primarily developed his teaching on justification, St. Paul speaks of faith that works through love. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What point of his papacy was that at?
Was that 2008? Early? So that would have been, yeah, that would have been mid papacy. Hey,
that dude was like locked in on that. To think that everyone's afraid that he's gonna come in and just everything's gonna get so strict because of his German background and his conservative background and everything, and then he comes in, that first encyclical that he writes is God is love,
right? Right.
It was just so beautiful to think about that.
I love Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
I love my German Shepherd.
Yeah. Seriously. But no, it's true. So I think that it is more complicated. But you know, I mean, there's so much stuff. But I think the thing that sums it up, Father Scott, for me, is what you said, that it's all about cooperation, right?
Yeah.
It's all about cooperation with the grace of justification. Is that
right?
How you phrased
and then
it?
And he would say that this guy Gene would say that. You know, the if a person is saved, okay, and, you know, they give their life to Christ, and, you know, we would say, you know, because we're sacramental, baptism, confirmation, then, but a person who is, you know, for us Catholics, who's baptized and confirmed, or in his case is, you know, he's Protestant, he's saying a person who is saved, but then, you know, does nothing, doesn't produce fruits, well, then can they, you know, is that a sign that they're really, you know, on board? You know what I'm saying? Because you know, our Lord said it, you know, a tree that does not produce good fruits is to be cut down. So
yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was a great letter and I appreciate it. And I'm happy that he's a cigar guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, you cigar guys.
Can check out Regina's
cigars.
People
with nice lungs. That would be fun.
Hey, yeah. These are cigars. We're not smoking cigarettes.
Well, so George, you're sitting kind of far away over there.
I am.
I wonder why. What's going on?
Because he's not a cigar
guy. I have a pain
guy.
In my chest and I can't breathe.
Yeah. What is that?
It's
from George Lopez.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So you're an asthmatic or something?
I'm an asthmatic, yeah.
Okay. So is this bugging you right now?
I might hit that fan on here in a few minutes, but.
But that's all that's going to do is blow the smoke around.
And George,
but it'll get moving.
Poor George is over there relegated to the corner. Well, and we're
flip on the fan. Go ahead, flip that fan on. It's the middle one. See the middle one? Pop that on
there.
There we go.
Get some of this smoke out of here. Maybe just waft it closer to George.
Having my dad as a cigar smoker, this has taught me that it may not actually work, but it makes my mind think it's working. So let's just go for it.
Yeah, that's, I know. Meanwhile, he's going to go home tonight.
Yeah. Carrie Ann's going to be like, "You smell like cigars."
I didn't touch it.
So funny. So you don't have to worry about sleeping on the couch because you're a cigar smoker. As some of my friends, you know, if they smoke a cigar, they know they're going to sleep on the couch tonight. When they go, "Father, I'm going to sleep on the couch tonight thanks to you giving me a cigar." Yeah. All right, so speaking of cigars, shall we do our review?
I think we should do our review.
Yeah, review.
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
Okay, listen, I smoked. Okay, so.
I know. I'm like, all right, I see what you're smoking over there.
Well, of course, but Friday, let me tell you, okay?
All right, tell me about Friday.
So I got a call from Rob House, okay?
Okay.
Our dear friend Rob House.
Good dude, Rob House.
So, you know, he's got the killer backyard, right? So
killer backyard, I've been there.
It's got the patio thing.
Killer patio.
And shut up.
Do you want me to repeat too? I can jump in on this too.
Yeah, so he's got one of those heaters, you know, those cool heaters.
Yeah.
So, man, we were playing, you know, the music was playing. We're listening to Clapton. We're listening to Blind Faith.
Well, yeah, he's a classic rock guy, too.
I mean, oh, yeah.
It seems like every time we go over there, he's got some good tunes
on.
He
likes the same stuff I do. And so we just sat back. And, you know, I just got done hearing Confessions and the whole thing after, you know, the busy week. And it was just so great to go. And we were sitting outside. Okay, it's December. Mid-December, we're sitting outside. All we need is a little heater. Toasty, warm, smoking cigars, listening to, you know, Eric Clapton and Blind Faith and Traffic. And it was just, I was in my own little heaven, just listening and talking. And it was just so much fun.
How great is that?
So I smoked. He gave me the Liga Privada number 9, which is very dark skin.
Yes.
It's a long smoke.
Yep.
Took like almost like an hour and a half, almost like maybe even more like an hour and 45.
For a guy who burns through a Padron 7000 in half an hour,
that's incredible,
dude.
And it kind of blew up at the end, though, just a little bit. But
really?
That's okay, yeah. But that's all right, because most of the smoke was just beautiful, and I was in my little heaven. So if you want a smoke that is, and it's a bit oily, I'll say that. It's a bit oily. It's very dark skin, you know, like a Maduro. So it's oily, but man, it's got a great taste. It's not bitter, very smooth. Of course, the draw is not, you know, I'm so used to the draw on these Padrones, you know, that.
Right.
But so it didn't draw as well or as what I'm used to, but I highly recommend the Liga Privada number 9. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a killer cigar. And I think you can buy that at Total Wine in Albuquerque, but I can't be positive. Yeah, that's a killer smoke, man. It's got like, it looks like velvety, the skin, because it's so oily. Mm-hmm. What a tasty stick.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you're reviewing?
That's it.
Your classic right now, Padron 7000s, the Maduro?
And then two, you know, I've got all these, the Reginas that I'm saving.
Ooh, where'd you get those?
Well,
are those new?
No, I told you a couple weeks ago.
I thought you smoked all those other ones already.
No. So I'm waiting for, let's see, the Christmas ones coming up, so. Yeah, I'm getting ready for.
Nice.
One of them, by the way, is called Mediatrix.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Pope Francis slammed the door on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's that's
he slammed the door.
No respect.
On that co-redemptrix thing. Yeah, he pretty much slammed the door on it this past weekend.
Interesting. I didn't know about that.
Well, I can show you the article.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesuits. So
what'd you say? Jesuits.
Hey, speaking of Regina cigars, you can go to reginacigars.com, get a cigar, type in the holy code.
All right, cut him off.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
Bourbon.
Okay,
Bourbon.
Enough.
Oh, stop it.
You're done.
I've had three.
Well, you've been drinking since 3 this afternoon.
No, you're so full of it. Stop it. Scandalize our listeners. I have not been drinking.
Not since 3. It's 2.
So, so go to reginacigars.com. At checkout, put in the code HOLYSMOKES and get 10% off your order on any of their awesome lines. Make great Christmas gifts. It's just really, really good sticks. So, so I am smoking the Punch After Dinner cigar, and it's fitting because it's after dinner. We had a wonderful dinner over at Mike.
Mike and Amy Carlin.
Yeah. Mike and Amy Carlin, shout out to them.
Hey, dude, that pork he made all wrapped in bacon?
That's the one that George made.
Oh, no. Mike made that one. I did the
pulled pork.
Both were very good.
Oh, so good. It's a barbecue.
Which one wins?
Oh, really?
Wow, here we go.
Really?
Uh-oh.
This way it's recorded. And I can tell Mike that...
Yeah, he doesn't listen. He doesn't. He admits he doesn't listen. Doesn't listen to our podcast.
I'm very hurt by that, Mike.
I'm wounded.
But,
I'm
wounded. Anyway, so
shout out to Joe Baltz. You know that guy, Joe Baltz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had him on one time, and he admit on our podcast that he does not like our podcast. He will never, ever, ever be on this podcast ever again.
I like this one. You know, I'm subscribed to the Catholic Talk Show. Oh, wait. Holy Smokes Catholic Review.
That's right.
There you go.
No, but I'm just saying, he was on, and then he slammed on our program. We're having him as a guest, and he puts down our podcast.
We're very hurt.
Yeah, I won't do that. I'll put you guys down afterwards, but I'll just...
yeah, off air. He's not recorded.
I'll be a good Catholic. Yeah. I'll go to confession to the friars, you know? Yeah.
So I'm smoking the Punch After Dinner cigar after this wonderful dinner that we had over at Mike Carlin's house where George cooked for us. Mike cooked for us. It was great. So I got like a big range of Punch cigars at Total Wine because... Mm-hmm. I smoked the Shorty by Punch this past week.
I like Punch.
So I don't think I've smoked Punch before. Maybe I have. I don't remember. But I know that you've smoked before. You've given them good reviews. So I was like, I'll try it out. It was a $3 cigar, this small little Punch. Mm-hmm. Bought that thing. It was so good. So good that I went to Total Wine and picked up like 6 or 7 of these things, all different styles.
And it's a ring gauge.
Dude, I never spent more than like... $5 on a Punch cigar. Mm-hmm. They are so affordable. I have to say, boys, I'm going to make this is a bold claim right now, but I think Punch might be so far, I think Punch for me might be the best value of 2019.
Wow, those are bold words, Hercules.
Okay, did you see, this thing was a Churchill length. The sucker was probably like 7 inches or whatever.
That thing? And
yeah. I mean, I smoked a hunk of it already, dude.
It's about the diameter of a Swisher Sweet. But...
Who's this guy? What did he say? Swisher Sweet.
I don't know. Say no Swisher Sweet, ladies and gentlemen.
So Father Florian, who God rest his soul, but he used to smoke this cigar called Backwoods.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Buy those. I think you can still buy those at, like, the Circle K or something.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Not good.
Yep.
When we used to do the Life Team camping trips, there was a guy that, I can't remember what his name was. Mac.
Remember
Mac.
Mac the mechanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was his go-to. Anytime that we were camping, he'd bust out that pack of Backwoods.
Oh, my goodness.
Does it taste like
Backwoods? I think that's what developed... I think that's how I got asthma, is from being around the Backwoods.
Backwoods. Oh, my goodness.
So, Punch, so far, I think is the best value of 2019 that I've come across. Because this thing, Churchill length, cost me $5. It was Cigar Aficionados number 12 on their top 25 cigars of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
$5. Are you kidding me? Wow. So, I'm super, super pumped about this. So it was made in Honduras. It's got a little bit of Honduras. And it's like this crazy blend of all kinds of stuff, right? So it's got Honduras in there. It's got Nicaragua in there. It's got the Dominican Republic. And it's wrapped in an Ecuador.
Wow.
If that's not, I don't know.
That's like international.
A melting pot. I don't know what it is.
Boy, that's amazing.
I mean?
That's a true South American cigar.
Dude.
Or Central America.
So good.
Or Central and South.
Yeah, Central and I don't know. I'm bad with geography.
Me too.
We're going to get people writing into us all upset. I don't know about the geography of
I don't but, look I really don't know anything about Eastern Europe, so I really don't know, so
I don't know anything about Australia. We're just gonna start saying random
geometry is not a good subject for me.
I don't know anything about trigonometry. Come on.
How am I supposed to find this on the map? I don't know trig.
So this has got a, it's got a great burn, and you know, it's funny, just as I started the review, got a little weird, but I'm gonna fix it. It's gonna be great. Mm-hmm. It's been burning really well. Great draw, great taste. Nothing that's like really super distinct. It's just a tasty cigar, like kind of earthy, not super sweet, not spicy at all. But man, knocking it out of the park. Punch. I tip my hat to you. After Dinner Cigar, pick it up.
So I got a confession. So about a couple of weeks ago, right?
I can't absolve you. I'm sorry.
So I woke up and you just wake up like in the middle of the night, like 3 or 4 in the morning. So I woke up and I'm like, trying to go back to sleep a little bit, but I just said to myself, boy, a cigar sure does sound good. So I actually got up out of bed to come smoke a cigar at 3 o'clock.
You're kidding me. That's the difference between where you live and where I live. I woke up at 3 o'clock as well because there were some people fighting outside my window.
It was gunshots. Yeah. There were gunshots.
I live in downtown
Albuquerque.
Also
a difference from you guys to myself. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've got a little person staring at me.
Dad. And it's not his kids.
I need water.
And it's not any of his children. That's the scariest part.
That's the weirdest part, yeah. We have no children.
Daddy. Daddy.
Did you guys read that thing on the new meme about Amazon and how creepy they're getting with their delivery stuff?
No, why?
You order PJs right before you go to bed. You get into bed, and then 3 o'clock in the morning, you're feeling your PJs being put onto you, and the Amazon person just says, shh, it's Amazon's new Prime delivery service. Isn't that getting crazy though? Here's Amazon key. I'm gonna get into your garage door. I'm gonna leave this in your trunk.
It's all creepy, weird stuff. But did you hear about the lady in Colorado with the when they deliver those boxes and they ring on the door? If nobody's there, they just leave the boxes.
Right.
So the thieves drive up and down the streets and they see the boxes. So they pull over and they get your box. They get your brand new computer or whatever. And then they
they hide it under that mat.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this lady, they did the report. It was on Fox News. So they talk about this lady in Colorado who was tired of getting her stuff ripped off, Amazon. So she started taking the boxes, and she has cats. So she started filling these boxes with the kitty litter other trash like beer cans and cigarette butts, rewrapping them and then setting them outside the door. So people would come by and steal them. And
that's funny.
Isn't that funny?
Dude, that reminds me. I saw this YouTube video where this guy, so he's a mechanical engineer. So he built this apparatus that's a glitter bomb. So all it does is it just like has this, it's like 3 pounds of glitter in this like air cannon that gets released when the
and
top of the
spirals.
Box. Yeah, when the top of the box gets opened. And then he put hidden cameras on it and whatever. So these guys steal the package and they take it inside their car and they're like, all right, this is going to be so great. He'll have it wrapped in like an Apple package or whatever. Then open it and they get glitter bombed. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's a great YouTube series, man. It just makes me feel warm inside this Christmas. Feel
Vengeance
warm inside.
Makes me feel happy. So what's your favorite Christmas movie? Die Hard?
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hey, what you saw recently, yeah.
Yeah. That's a cool ending.
It's a good one, man.
That's a cool ending. There was something else I was going to talk about. Oh, here's what it was. Okay, when Tony was here the last time,
mm-hmm.
Remember, 6 months ago. Yeah, 6 months mm-hmm. ago before going to Hawaii. No, this was just 2 weeks ago. He was mentioning how Lent, or Advent, I'm sorry, is... And it should be a time of preparation, right, to celebrate the birth of Christ.
Right.
And it should be a time of penance and, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
except this Sunday.
Well, it's joyful, right? But, the pink collar, Gaudete Sunday is a time of joy. But, I got to thinking, it is a purple season. And purple, of course, is symbolic of repentance and, fasting and increased prayer. Almsgiving, confessing, renouncing sin, abstaining, making sacrifices. Okay, but then it dawned on me, because I just, whatever Tony talked about on that podcast has gotten me thinking lately. It's like, well, you know, and it hit me the other day. We've turned a penitential season into a season. That's what Advent has become. Now it's a season of gluttony and indulgence.
Right. Totally.
Right? And so I was telling the people in the homily, look, you know, it got to the point with me, it just, by the time Christmas comes around, the celebration, I'm so celebrated out that I just want it to be over with. Mm-hmm. And it's no more, there's no more joy for me in it.
Right.
You know, I used to love Christmas when I was a kid. And then, you know, becoming a priest, and there's Christmas, and it's not even Christmas, it's Advent, but there's Christmas breakfast and Christmas luncheons and Christmas parties, right, sometimes all in the same day. So a couple of years ago, I said, okay, that's enough. I'll go to an occasional party, you know, but for me now, it's I spend more time in quiet in the chapel, just spending time with Jesus. And guess what? It's just amazing how this works. My Christmas joy is coming back.
Right.
Wow.
Yep. Well, because it takes the anticipation out of it, right? That's entirely what Advent means. It would be like if we had Easter celebrations like at the beginning of Lent. Mm-hmm. It would take the entire joy out of Easter, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I think it's also a social thing. You know, if you look around, think about when in retail, when do you start seeing Christmas stuff?
July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it seems like, yeah. So I think.
No, I think in September, though, and on it. That September is when I was walking through, was it Macy's when we had Macy's? We used to have Macy's.
Yeah.
We don't have Macy's anymore, but end of September, and they were already putting the Christmas stuff up.
Yep.
And I'm not exaggerating. Yep. So, right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know it's crazy. It's just crazy, man.
And it's the worldly mindset. It's the constant thing that you're being inundated with. Oh, we need to, you know, they're coming at it from that angle of, well, we need to sell more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts, you know, all of a sudden you're like going from this is Halloween to Christmas being mixed in completely. And then the whole Tim Burton was right that the Nightmare Before Christmas is truly happening, that even in September, October, that Christmas is being set up everywhere, and then it's just being forced down, like you said, Father, it's forced down your throat until the point that it takes all the joy out, and then you don't even get to celebrate the Christmas season, which doesn't start until after Advent.
Yep.
Right.
Well, and then if you leave your decorations up after Christmas, you're like, oh, the person's lazy or whatever, or, you know, they're
your
weird.
HOA fines you.
It's just crazy. No, really? Do they? No way. Well, stop.
Oh, yeah.
Your HOA will fine you?
I have until, it's typically between January 4th and January 9th. So the last couple of years have.
Well, till the epiphany, right?
Yeah, that's what I petitioned for, is that now you have until.
Well, epiphany. Like at least the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, but it used to be like January 2nd, and then it slowly started getting more and more that they'd extend it out. I brought up, you know, religious exemption. Mm-hmm. I tried that. Nothing happened. So then I threatened to try to join the board, and that seemed to work. So it's been extended out. They didn't want to deal with me either. So,
well, I got to tell you, if you show up and I don't know you and you show up at my front door demanding something, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Whatever you want. Yeah. I mean, you know, have you looked at yourself in the mirror?
I have.
Holy smoke.
That's why I did so well when I was teaching.
Yeah, dude, you'd play a good villain in like, like a biker movie or something.
Yeah.
You just have to develop a maniacal laugh.
Dude, I got to post a picture. I should post a picture of him on Instagram so all of our followers can see exactly how he looks. Because you're a little threatening, man. A little threatening.
But, those
big old rosy cheeks, I just look like either Mr. Clean's fatter older brother or Santa Claus in the off-season. You know? One way or the other, it's happening.
Oh, man. But, you know, I was saying to the people tonight or, you know, today is... that when for me, because you got the parties and it's just go, go, go. And by the time Christmas rolls around, I just don't want it. It's like, let's just get this over with. And the thing I started looking forward to was not the celebration of Jesus's birth. What I was looking forward to is getting the heck out of here with my golf clubs and going someplace warm to play golf.
Right.
It's like, that's messed up. That's not what, you know, the celebration of Jesus's birth is what should bring me joy.
Amen. And, yeah.
You know, so. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just had to start rethinking.
Yeah.
And
I think that's good, man. I think good on you for doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to get caught up, you know, not in the consumerism and buying everyone presents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good on you, dude.
Yep.
Well,
it is.
Is it that time?
Well, it is. It is. It is time for the gospel.
For the gospel.
So, do you have it?
Or I do.
You
I
have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you read it?
Sure.
It's for a Gaudete Sunday.
Gaudete Sunday. This is so. The gospel for today is coming from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2-11. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. Amen.
So, Padre, on that real quick, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever read this gospel and then think about, like, your role, like, when you're saying Mass and confecting the Eucharist and everything, that you get to be, like, so you get to... You get to have the whole altar crucis thing,
mm-hmm.
and then, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you get to be John the Baptist of preparing the way, bringing Jesus mm-hmm. to us.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I've thought about, you know, the fact that altar, you know, in the person of Christ being the other Christ, you know, being in the person of Christ at the moment of consecration. I think about that all the time. But what you just said about John the Baptist being, no, I've never thought of that.
Hmm.
So you know,
now the next time, now tomorrow morning when I celebrate Mass, I'll be thinking that because I am preparing the way.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
And I'm bringing Christ. But also at the same time, think about this. It's like being the Blessed Mother, too, who brought Christ into the world. So I'm bringing Christ to the people. Yeah.
The God bearer. Yep.
The God bearer. Right.
Theotokos.
Yep.
So I need to think tomorrow. I'll be thinking about that.
Cool.
But that's a great sort of study. That's a great mm-hmm. meditation, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, definitely. This gospel is interesting. I was trying to look up the context of John the Baptist in prison. But I think just kind of the whole framework is fascinating, though, right? So John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends his disciples out to ask Jesus this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" And I love the response of Jesus, because I think it could be really easy for our Lord to just be like, "Well, yeah, I mean, of course, come on. You know, I'm the son of Mary. You jumped in your womb when you saw me as in the womb." You know what I mean? Like it could have been really easy to have that response. But again, what does he do, right? So he says, let my works speak for themselves. Let what I've done speak for itself. The blind are regaining their sight. The lame walk. Lepers mm-hmm. are cleansed. The deaf hear. And he goes on and on. The dead are raised. The dead are raised. It's just incredible.
And dude, so that all ties in, though, to like Isaiah and Samuel and all that stuff. Going back to that, that's what they're looking for, is the one who is to come.
Mm.
The Messiah, the Christos,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Savior. That's all these words that are brought up when you look at the old text of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And the words that they use are just incredible in that description. And that it makes it so much more, like when you look at the antiphon today for that gospel, it makes it, ties it back into the gospel itself.
Well, what is that? Do you have that?
I do. Yep. The antiphon says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." And that comes from Isaiah 61:1. Which also, that's the words that Jesus Christ himself quotes in this, right? In in Luke chapter 4:18. So this is something, and I love, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, George, because Jesus is quoting the prophecy in Scripture and in Isaiah specifically, where he's like, look, this thing is being fulfilled right now in this moment, that the glad tidings being brought to the poor, that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. That's what the Messiah is, the anointed one, right?
There's so many more cool things too, though, yeah, that go all into that. You know, the suffering servant is right before that part that the antiphon comes from. That whole idea that, you know, the light that's going to bring forth the salvation in 49, mm-hmm, in Isaiah. And all these things just point to it and point to that direction and just show it that all that Jesus really has to say is, look around. Mm. You know, and then if you think about, you know, one of the classes I got to take was the Bible is literature. Mm. And then looking at John in prison and thinking about that John, yeah, he's literally locked up, but he's also metaphorically locked up, because at the same time that, you know, when you look at that gospel, it says that John is great, but he's not as good as the least of those in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. So that's another metaphorical meaning that he's locked up.
Mm. That, yeah, he's, what, yeah, how is he? I'm kind of lost there. He's locked up in a metaphorical sense. What do you mean?
And because it's saying, because Jesus says to them that he's, yes, he's great, but he's lower than even the least of someone that's in heaven. So until he has died of this world.
Oh, and then, yeah. And then,
so he's locked up. You know, it's not to go on to the saying that.
I get what you're saying. So it's like, you know, being that he's earthbound at that moment, he's limited.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we are a pile of dung that we need to, you know, be looking for a way out or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that once we get that freedom. Mm-hmm.
Well, freedom from this life in this world, right? So John is, while he's a person on earth, he's limited. So he's in a sense, like, I get what you're saying. He's it's like he's bound up by this earthliness, by this, mm-hmm, the world, right?
By his mortality. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so once he dies, once he suffers his martyrdom, then he will be truly free and will be great in heaven.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. You know, with me, so with with Jesus doing all these works, he's really saying, look, like you just said, George, look around you. Jesus is saying, look around you, mm-hmm, because all of this, look around, see the things that I am doing, and do the things that I am doing, do they not fulfill what has already been spoken about me in the scriptures through the prophets that are recorded in Isaiah and all these other old, you know, covenant books.
Well, and and I think it's an interesting, like, look into Jesus kind of asking John to have this kind of nugget of faith, right? Because he's saying, look at these things and see them being fulfilled. It would be really easy for Jesus to just come forward and say, yes, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, do this, we're done, here's salvation, gates of heaven are flung open. Mm-hmm. But that's never what Jesus does. Jesus always reframes the question and poses it back to the asker, right? And what's interesting too is that in the actual text of Matthew,
that thought for a second, because I'll forget this. Uh-huh. But it's like Jesus, when he throws it back at them,
right?
It's like saying, "Oh God, did I just lose my thought?" It's like saying, "Look, you can figure this out on your own."
Yep, exactly. Works speak for themselves. What I've done speak for themselves.
You can arrive at this answer on your own. Think about it. Think about it. Right.
Yep. Well, and then it's interesting too. So in verse 2 here. So in the actual text of the scriptures, it says when John. So listen, this is interesting to me. When John heard in prison of the works of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to him. So John hears already of the works of the Messiah. So he knows that there's this guy Jesus, his cousin. He knows that there's Jesus out here raising the dead, curing lepers. He knows all these things are going on. He hears about the works of the Messiah, but he asks the question anyway. And then Jesus kind of, and I don't know, I don't want to throw up my own kind of personality into this or anything like that, but it almost sounds like a snarky kind of response that our Lord is having here. He's like, look, you know, you already know what I've done. You know that these people are raised from the dead. You know that their lepers have been cured. Figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and at the same time, you know, it's one of those things of, if I say it, then it's not as impactful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if I were to go over and just hand you keys, Will, and be like, and you just look at it and you try to hit the button to figure out what car did I just give you. Mm-hmm. Not that I could afford to give you a car, but if it were to happen,
right,
it would be one thing that I think that would be more impactful to you than if I just handed them over to you and just walked away. Otherwise, I'm like, I'm giving you a car. Then you're like, oh, great. Now I'm indebted to this guy. Right. Thanks a lot, you jerk.
Right, right, right. Well, and it even goes back to
I just really didn't get that at all. I'm just saying, but.
It's a feeling, you know. I would feel more indebted to someone if they came over and if it was a surprise, mm-hmm. and they just handed me over a surprise. Because then you don't know, was it from this person? Was it from somebody else? Otherwise, they come over and they're like, I'm giving you this. Maybe I shouldn't have chosen a car. Maybe I should have, you know, done something different. Mm-hmm. But if they come over and they state, I'm giving you this, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel as impactful. Mm. Does that make sense?
I guess. I'd be happy with getting a car from anybody for whatever reason.
You know...
We'll take that. I'm sure somebody got that. I just over my head.
Maybe you didn't need to hear that right now, Father. How about
no,
that?
but you know, it's like Jesus saying, it's almost like letting us discover on our own. Isn't that true when you search?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the Lord makes us or lets us search.
Right.
Well, he doesn't give us everything right away. He wants us to search so that we have the joy of discovery.
100%. Well, right? What does he say to the Pharisees, though? And I think this is in a different gospel. When he says the Pharisees, is he says... Right. So they're shocked that this guy is lame. And he says, take up your mat and walk and your sins are forgiven. So then they're all shocked by this whole thing. Right. And then what is Jesus' response to the Pharisees? He says, what is harder to say? Pick up your mat and walk or your sins are forgiven. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
in other words, look, figure this out, boys. And, you know, you've got a brain. You can figure this out. It's easier for a person to say, your sins are forgiven than to say, pick up your mat and walk. Yet the guy got up and walked because he picked up his mat and walked. So in other words, it should have triggered something in their own head. Whoa, wait a second.
Yeah.
He just told the guy to get up and walk and he did, which is the harder thing.
Yeah. And if getting up and walking is true, then what does that mean about the forgiveness of sins?
Right.
And
so the light should have gone off in their brains, right? That's right. So maybe it's the joy of discovery.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's always the way our Lord, because our Lord, I think, perpetually challenges us. And this is the entirety, this is kind of, the base of the Gospels, right? Is the entirety of the Gospels is a challenge in faith. It is a challenge to all of us, and it is a question that we're asked every single day. It's not a statement. The Gospels are not like, boom, okay, laid it all out, right? Laid it all out, we're done, that's it. Jesus, you know. It's this perpetual question of fidelity that we're called to answer every single day of our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's why heaven, and that's why this earth is a struggle. That is why it is hard. You know, if it was easy, if it was all laid out in front of us, it's like, then what's the purpose of life? You know what I mean? It's just a beautiful question of fidelity that our Lord is asking here, I think.
Yeah. And I like that where he says, hey, are you the one, or which, by the way, I got to tell you, it's confusing because Jesus approaches John. Okay. And then the Spirit comes down and tells John, this is the Messiah. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Okay. So then, you know, it's a couple of years later, John's about to be executed. And then, there's this thing, you know, where John, what was the text again? Are you the one?
Yeah,
because John asked the question, are you the one?
That we should, or should we follow another? Yeah.
See, that kind of confuses me. Wouldn't John know this? Because, you know what I'm saying? Isn't it confusing? Yeah. So John, why would John ask the question or say that?
Go back 31 to 33 years prior to this, or 30 to 31 years before this, that the infant leaped in the womb of Elizabeth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He knew then.
Yeah.
And now he's questioning again all these years later.
So maybe it's all part of that. Maybe John is just using psychology.
Yeah. You know? I also think that, like...
I don't know. It's always confused me.
I think John the Baptist was a human, right? I think he was a human and he had human questions like this. You know, I mean...
Well, does it mean he wasn't certain? That's what puzzles me.
Yeah.
Is it that, or is it that the writer's using this for emphasis?
Could it be the author is, to
because you find it only in the synoptics, primarily Matthew and Luke. You don't find it as much in, you definitely don't really find it in John. And
that's a good point. Yeah. Cause I mean, what our Lord says draws exactly into the first reading that we had at Mass today from Isaiah. Isaiah, so our Lord is almost, it's almost a direct quote from Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 35, which we read at Mass today, the end of it says, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. Then the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. So he goes on and on and on in Isaiah with these prophecies about the Messiah, about God.
Yeah,
right. Here is your God, right? Says it right there in Isaiah.
But then Jesus, when they come and say, you know, should we look for another? John has this question, are you him or should we look for another? And Jesus says, go back and tell him that the blind see again. That points right to that prophecy from the first reading, Isaiah. The lame walk, mm-hmm. They're healed, the dead are brought to life again. Just naming all of those that are mentioned in that book.
About the Messiah.
So, see, and then the thing of it is, it would trigger, the light bulbs would go off in the brains of his hearers. The disciples would go,
exactly.
Whoa, you are the fulfillment of that prophecy.
But you know what I love too?
And the works speak for themselves.
Exactly.
Jesus didn't have to, you notice Jesus didn't say, I'm him.
Follow me. Follow me. Do it. Just follow me.
Hey, guys, just come on. Come on. Let's go this way.
Come on. Just have faith.
He does these works and says, look, judge for yourselves, but I'm here to save everyone. You know, what I love though, too, is that our Lord even takes that prophecy a step further. So we talk a lot in this podcast about fulfilling the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. So our Lord takes us a step further because Isaiah in his prophecy stops at the deaf being able to hear. Okay, so Jesus lists all these things that you will know the Messiah from this prophecy, as we said, and I'm going to repeat it again, because this is the shtick right now, I guess, right? So, blind regain sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear. He takes it a step further, and the dead are raised. That's a step further than that prophecy.
Look at that psalm.
Well, and then he says, then the poor have the good news preached to them.
That is a good one. That's a good one,
right?
Too. Yep.
So, that's the good news. So going back to what we've been talking about, the light bulb going off. So Jesus, really think about it. Okay. You know, is Jesus really the Messiah? Well, the old covenant, the prophecies point to somebody. Jesus is the only one who fits the description.
Right.
So the old covenant prophecies testify to the validity of Christ's messiahship.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Okay, so now you have the angel Gabriel testifying to the validity of the child, who is Jesus, in the womb. You will give birth, he says to Mary, you will bear a son.
Right.
Okay, you will name him, you know, Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have Elizabeth testifying to the validity, because she said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You see? So Elizabeth is testifying to his validity.
Then
you have Jesus testifying to the validity of his messiahship when he says, I am. Are you saying you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God? I am. Okay. You have the works, and this is where we're going. The works testify.
Yeah.
Because these things, raising the dead to new life, walking on water, commanding the wind to die, and it did, giving sight to the blind. You know, the list goes on and on. Those works.
Raising the dead.
Only the things that God could do, only these things that God could accomplish, Jesus accomplishes, okay? You see?
Exactly.
The works testify. John the Baptist, God himself testifies to John the Baptist, this is my beloved son.
Right.
The Father testifies to the three apostles on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. Mm-hmm. Right, this is my son. Listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have
Mary's last recorded words. Do whatever he tells you. That's another testament if you take him the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then the clincher is the fact that Jesus himself rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Proves that's Boom. The nail in the I coffin. Know. That's Jesus testifying once for all, the nail in the coffin. It's the icing on the cake. There's no argument after that, that he is the Messiah.
But how could there be a nail in the coffin if he was raised from the dead?
Well,
semantics.
Wow. No, but you're right, though. You're absolutely right. Is that these incredible works, these wonders that were performed, I mean, it drew people into him and called them to something greater. It's just so fantastic, man.
It's amazing.
And I love that. So I have to say, too, I love the second part of the gospel, because I think in a certain way. I mean, Jesus kind of rallies for John the Baptist in this moment as well, right? So after this questioning, this public questioning also, I might add, right? Because his disciples are questioning Jesus in front of other Jews, in front of a crowd. And then Jesus, again, uses his works to testify about himself. But then Jesus kind of sticks up for John the Baptist. He's like looking out to these people. He's like, look, why are you all the way out here? Like, did you come to see a prince? No, they're in palaces. You see like a fine robed person. He goes through all these different things to see a reed swayed by the wind. I love that because I think that's kind of a dig into like some of like the political atmosphere maybe, right? This reed swayed either way, you know, with whatever direction the wind is blowing, the reed gets swayed, right? So he's saying, no, why did you go out to see a prophet? I tell you, more than a prophet, more than a prophet. Mm-hmm. And then
he's the forerunner of the Messiah.
Exactly. And then he quotes Isaiah again. It's just so rich. He mm-hmm. quotes Isaiah again, prophesying that, fulfilling this prophecy that says that there is a messenger that will be sent ahead of him that will prepare the way before him. And then he goes on and says that, and this is an interesting line. And so, I don't know, maybe we can unpack this because it's a challenge, I think, to kind of wrap my head around at least. So he says that, I tell you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom is greater than he. The least in the kingdom is greater than he.
Yeah, I was just pondering that, you know, what did you go out to see?
Yeah.
You know, what were you hoping to find? You know, were you looking for, you know, a celebrity?
Mm-hmm.
Someone to entertain you? What were you looking for?
A crazy person, you know?
Yeah, what? Were you there to have your ears tickled? Or what were you going? Something drew you to him.
Right.
What is it? You went out to see something great.
Mm.
Okay? A prophet indeed who's more than that. He's the forerunner who's pointing to me.
Mm.
Basically what he's kind of saying, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet, the one in heaven is greater than he, John mm-hmm. the Baptist, at that moment.
Mm. That's an interesting take. So you're saying that in heaven, okay, all right. Or can you rephrase that for me? I'm just trying to wrap my head around it.
Well, just saying, you know, like what George was saying a minute ago, that mm-hmm. You know, yet the least in heaven is greater than he. So he was saying, right. You know, that at that moment, because John was still earthbound, he was bound up by his human and worldly limitations because he had not stepped into the full glory of God on the other side of this life yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think, right?
Interesting.
Because in heaven we'll be perfected. We're not perfected by no means now.
Right.
But in heaven we will be.
Mm.
And we will shine like all the stars in heaven for all eternity. Because we will be so united to Christ. That's the beauty of, and that's the awesomeness of heaven. God will infuse into us his knowledge and his power. That's how great we will be in heaven.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's amazing.
Interesting.
For sure.
Which, by the way, just leads me to say this.
Yeah.
Is there any mortal sin worth committing to lose that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, yeah, I mean, eternal bliss in heaven forever with our Creator, the person, the God who gave breath in our lungs and holds us into existence. There is nothing.
I'll lose that. I'd rather live in sin with my girlfriend. Okay, so, but I'll lose that.
Yeah, but she was cute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I know, it's true.
But, you know, going back to, because we mentioned at the top of this podcast, we were talking about the image of Our Lady of
Guadalupe. Yep.
Right. So it's the same sort of thing here.
Mm.
Is it real? I mean, is that really the sign from above? Is it okay when we study it and it just how miraculous it all is?
Mm-hmm.
Lights in our brain should go off. I mean, we should go, wow, this is truly a God thing because only God could pull this off.
And it just shows that he's still working. He's still working in the world today, you know. And I think this is a temptation to a lot of times. And I have this, right? Oh, once Jesus rose from the dead, miracles and everything like that, it's like, it's done. It was over. It's all tapped out. We're just here kind of in exile. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not, that's not true. That's a wrong perspective, is that our Lord works powerfully and intentionally today. There are miracles, there are signs and wonders, and that Jesus is in the same way that 2000 years ago, how he was manifesting his works to those first century Jews, he continues to manifest his works to 21st century people, Gentiles, right? Everybody. He's still manifesting his works to us today, still pointing to us and saying, I am the Messiah. There is room for you in my heaven. There is room for you here.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. And I think, too, that, you know, we think about, you know, the early centuries and all the mystics and people having visions and doing these cool things. It's like, where are they today? Well, here, I think, is the real problem is that I think so many people who are being called to great holiness and to mysticism are not listening because of cell phones and social media and the media and noise and noise and noise and noise. Mm-hmm. So there's people who are being invited by the Lord to these deep, deep things of the Spirit who aren't hearing the message.
That's a great point. Yeah. To not be swayed like a reed in the wind, bringing it full circle, right?
That's right.
Is that there are so many distractions. And again, and we talked about this earlier about Christmas, but there's so many distractions that are trying to kind of pull our attention away from our Lord and away from these deeper meanings and away from self-reflection and away from our Lord and towards something else, right? Towards sin.
Well, right? It's like the Lord has to compete with all these things for our affection and love.
Exactly.
And our attention, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So good discussion, boys. All right. So next week we're going to tackle the fourth Sunday of the season of Advent.
Wow.
And fourth, you know what?
Sunday. Are you kidding
already?
Me? Are you kidding me?
2 weeks ago was summertime, it seemed like to me.
Hey, well, we still got some people outside celebrating like it's summertime. So
yeah, in a trip. I mean, it seems like 3-4 weeks ago it was still 90 degrees.
So weird.
And here it is, man. Already. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know. I swear, it feels like time is just picking up.
So I got to tell you this. You know, my dad when I was young said, "Yeah, the older you get, the faster time." You know, when you're a kid, you're like, "Oh, sure, Dad."
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's true, except for when I was in the seminary in Wisconsin. So January, February, and March, and into April, never ended.
Oh, yeah. What would those winters do?
On and on.
Those were those winters in Connecticut.
January seemed like 5 months. February seemed like 6 months. It just never ended.
Were you in school with Father McKenna?
No. Well, at the same time, yes, but not in the same place.
Okay.
He was at the Josephinum.
Okay.
I take that back. He was at Mount St. Mary's. No, Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. And I've heard his stories about feeding the birds and then forgetting to close his window in the winters up there, and having snowdrift and birds all over the place in his seminary room. And
well, that's him.
Holy smokes! No kidding.
That's just being silly.
Who's that? Who's Father McKenna?
I'm gonna leave that. With this one on just a little bit of a little taste to get you guys to invite me back. So
there you go. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, when I was in Wisconsin in the seminary, it's kind of shaped, the whole building shaped like a crescent moon.
Okay.
Okay. And there's this big crown out front that looks like the Seagram's Seven crown.
Of course you'd make that association.
No, it's true. So, but any case, so the first floor, on one side, we're all okay. You had the chapel, and then on this side, the right wing. If you're facing the building, the right wing.
Hey, we're not political here. Excuse me.
Okay, so the Republican part was all the offices. Then the left wing was the classrooms.
Okay.
Then above the classrooms were three floors of the dorm rooms. Okay, so they kept the bottom floor so hot. Because, and it's, you know, it's 15, 20 below zero. They kept that bottom part so warm. Well, heat rises.
Oh, yeah.
That our rooms would be cooking. So you'd come up, it's like 15 below zero. You come back from wherever and you look at the building and all the windows of the dorm rooms are wide open.
Yeah. Just
wide open. And it's 15 below zero.
Dude. That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
I have a theory that that's how people get like really sick. is just from like those wacky like swings of temperature now with like modern heating where you it's like 15 below, you walk inside, it's 90 degrees, and you're still in your parka and everything, you know what I mean?
Well, hey, that's like in Phoenix in the summertime. It's cooking. It's 120 degrees, and then you go into a movie theater or into a restaurant, and it's freezing cold.
They all have refrigerated air, ice.
All the way down to like 76.
Yeah, dude. Well, I know, right?
Freezing. I need a jacket.
76.
No, dead serious. I went to see a movie, man.
Yeah, try being like, chubby with these temperatures, you know?
I went to see Alien versus whatever, and, you know, Aliens 10 or 12, whatever. And I'm serious. Halfway through the movie, I'm like, I had my arms pulled into my sleeves and, you know, up, just shivering. Yeah. It was freezing cold.
I used to work in an office that had the refrigerated air vent right next to my desk, and it would get so cold that even like it's weird because it stays with you too. So I'd go out to lunch, I'd be freezing cold. I'd bring a jacket to work, so I'd wear the jacket in the office, and then in this mid summertime, freezing cold in there, and then I'd walk outside, and it maybe is like 95, 100 degrees in Albuquerque, and I'd still be like physically cold in that heat. Like I could feel the warmth of my skin, but it would take me like half an hour to warm up. You know what I mean? I still just felt freezing cold, man. Terrible. I'm sure that's not good for you.
No, and then you get sick.
I did have walking pneumonia for 6 months. No.
Did you?
No, I'm just kidding.
You are walking pneumonia.
Speaking of, it's a cross between The Walking Dead and The Office. The Walking Pneumonia.
The Walking Pneumonia, yeah. Or you could just do Christopher Walken impressions and the Walking Pneumonia.
Wow.
Wow, it's The Walking Pneumonia.
Babies. Chris got a fever.
I got a fever.
Well, the prescription is more cowbell, baby.
I think with these terrible impressions, we just lost the last of our five listeners. So
now we're down to two.
Yeah.
No, we're down to three. Me, and him.
Yeah.
And Mike, if you're listening to this one, subscribe for us, okay?
Yeah.
And that goes for anybody named Mike, by the way.
I know. There you go.
Do we have any shout-outs?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I've got a... let me just pull it up here. I've got a shout-out because we got a new review on iTunes. That's always a good day there, George. It's a good day when you get a review. So
we have... How many? 41?
41.
Now?
Can you believe it?
And then the lanky guys have like 2 billion.
I know. They've got a lot there.
And then
Catholic Stuff You Should Know has
like
3 billion. I think that there's some Russian collusion, though, with some of their reviews. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. Can't say.
Hey,
it,
watch. Check this out, guys. Hey, this is a big shout out to all Ave Maria students, current and past. So let's go alumni. We've got another alumni speaking here. So
yeah.
I'm going to make sure to blast this all over our Facebook page there.
Hey.
That just jumped you up to 7.
7. Hey, that's better than...
Just because of that, we're going to have you back on.
There we go. So this review is from... Go Blue Fan 505. He says, excellent podcast. I've been listening to the pod since its inception.
Wow.
And like Mrs. Burrito, I like the banter, the game show, Antonio, and the wise cracker.
There you go.
Hey, I appreciate the banter.
And Burrito, she loved the song.
Good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm noticing a trend here?
What?
Notice all the reviews you've been getting. People are like, yeah, hey, we love the banter. We never get anybody who's like, we love the gospel review. It's always like, we love the banter. Just keep talking. Don't talk about the gospel.
You guys don't know what you're talking about theologically, but just keep going back and forth because it's entertaining.
Did
you really go to seminary, Father?
Hey, we should just change the name of this podcast and fake it till you make it. Like you're just
2.0.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It's got to rip off other podcasts and stuff. So.
Well, that's what William does. He just listens to the lanky guys and then comes in and repeats what they say.
Didn't I tell you? I told you this on the phone 2 days ago. I said, George, I said, my podcast or the prep for the podcast that I do is I flip on the lanky guys and I read the gospel. That is my prep for this. George, meanwhile, came in with like this big book and all these notes and post-it
it's
notes.
It's called the
and
Bible.
Is that what?
Yeah, it's
like... I know we're Catholic. You probably haven't seen one before. But...
No.
Hey, I've never seen one of those.
Well, I just dug myself into a hole. So, anyway.
So funny.
Oh, geez.
All right. So, any other shout-outs?
Mm-hmm. I think that might be everything I got. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone. I met some fantastic parishioners at the Guadalupe celebration. And can y'all know their names, Padre?
I don't know. Ooh, I don't know who you met.
Well, I met them with you. You introduced me.
Oh, you're talking about Miguel and...
So I know Miguel.
Yeah. You met Austin and his wife, Caitlin.
Yes, who were going to listen to the podcast. I said, hey, check out the podcast.
Well, that's how she found us.
That's right.
They moved from Germany. That's right. And she, before they moved out here, she found us through the podcast.
She was in Germany. And was like, they're doing some research about where they're going to move and like the parishes in the area. Looked up her website, and she's
Albuquerque
like,
9.
and she's like, wow, a podcast. That's pretty 21st century and hip. I think she almost used those exact words. And so here we are. So shout out to you guys. That was super cool.
That was cool.
So those are my shout outs. Okay. Any more shout outs there, George?
Another shout out to Dr. Paul Thigpen. Butter him up a little bit to get him on here.
I know, man. We got
to... I don't know. After he listens down. To this, he may not want... George will call me. He'll say, tell the secretary.
Yeah.
I'm not here. In.
Tell Father Scott I'm sick.
I have walking pneumonia. I have William.
I've got a walking pneumonia.
But would that be walking or walking? That's where we'd have to draw that
Joaquin
line.
Phoenix pneumonia. Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix pneumonia. It's weird. just weird. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Quit joking around over there, Father.
All right. On that note. Hey, we got that other podcast, too, called Catholic Bee. If you check that out. And don't forget, we're building a church, sjvnm.org. If you want to donate and just scroll down to where it says building campaign or capital campaign, we're happy to take your money.
That's right.
To build
a
church.
So I'm going to post. I'm literally, as soon as this podcast is over, I am walking over there.
Wow.
And I'm taking a picture of George Meyerson sitting there in front of his mic so you all can see the wonders of his baldness. I'm going to post it on our Instagram page.
I shaved freshly for you today, bro.
At Holy Smokes Catholic.
Man, his head's huge. Barely fit through that door.
It's a big head.
It's got a gunchin.
Hey, big heads unite.
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
So
you know what's funny? We have this big crate. This big crate has a crucifix in it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's me and like 20 other guys. We're trying to hoist it up and we're like, can't do it. So I called George and he comes over just by himself and this other guy.
Mike Garland.
Yeah. With one. That was Mike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just hoists it up, like with one hand.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing.
So, at Holy Smokes Catholic.
Pick things up and put them down.
There you go, man. You can play, like I said, you can play a villain in a biker movie. So, yeah. At Holy Smokes Catholic on Instagram. If you want to drop us a line, our email is holysmokes@sjvnm.org. I mean, we've said this, but man, we are not the best at responding. But we will address your question live on air.
That's right.
That's okay. Right.
Okay,
which is then pre-recorded and then put out as a podcast. So
it's kind of live-ish. Nah, not
hey,
really.
Mike Carlin was going to join us tonight. He would have been our studio audience.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
If it's one guy, is it a studio audience or a studio audience? If it's just one guy, wouldn't it be a studio audience? I'm just wondering, is there such a word?
Studio attendee.
Write in and tell us if you know the answer.
Is there a word? Is that audience?
And possibly win some great... Holy smokes.
Notice
Catholic
that mass
review.
People say, you notice that mass, it's through my fault. And what do people say? Through my grievous fault?
Yep.
There's no such word.
Through my most grievous fault, I know.
It's no such word.
Grievous. Grievous. I
don't know.
I'm very grieved.
Leave it
by
to the college students.
I'm grieved.
I'm very grieved.
That should be another topic one of these days. Why did we have to change our responses in mass?
Because it's better. Boom.
Yeah.
Question answered.
That's it.
No, I'm just kidding.
It is. I think it's more, I like it. I like the change myself.
Yeah, but we can get into the history of the change.
Well, okay, I tell you what, you come up with the, what? The history of the college students. What does that have to do?
The whole thing with our mass being translated was originally done by college students.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's how it got screwed up, and that's how we have to... I guess there goes the next podcast. I'm cut off for the next one.
I agree with you. That's what happened. That's what happened. But that was the translation back in, what, the 1960s?
Late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it. Say goodbye, William.
Goodbye, everybody.
George Jr.
Farewell.
And goodbye.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles...
our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.